Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Spotlight Friday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a Kickstarter that's really exciting with a veteran in the comic industry. It's my pleasure to welcome John McCrae to the show for the first time. John, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jace. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, we tried to do this a little sooner, and unfortunately, scheduling and that kind of thing. Because I really wanted to help out with the Kickstarter, but as it turns out, you didn't necessarily need my help. I mean, obviously, we still want people to know about it and go and pledge, but you funded really quickly, right? Can you give us an update on where you are with the Kickstarter?
Well, we funded in about under an hour,
yeah.
Was it? I can't remember. I'm a bit of a blur now, really. Also, it's extremely hot here, and I'm not used to this sort of temperature, so my brain is cooking a little. So if I'm a little slow, I apologize. But yeah, I think we funded in under an hour. And then it's been slowly building over the last 10 days, I guess. I think it's 10, we're about 10 days in, so we're on about just approaching 25K on it. I mean, our initial goal was, and that's £25,000, so that would be a little bit more in dollars.
Yeah, $32,000 as I'm looking at it in American currency.
Okay, so. Yeah. And our goal was like £7,500, which I guess is $9,000.
Right. Yeah, $9,700.
I mean, honestly, the $9,000 goal really would have, all that would have done, and it was beautiful to hit it so quickly. I mean, and everybody who supported the Kickstarter, I thank them all so much for being so awesome and just getting in there and getting it funded so quickly. But that would only... What? I'm recording a podcast.
Okay.
Jeez. I told him. Anyway, sorry about that.
All good.
I've been thrown off my thread now.
Yeah, you were talking about what the initial dollar amount would have funded.
Yes, and that is great, but really that initial amount would have just about covered printing and postage and paying for the various sort of people who have been helping me with this. So we would maybe have broken even on that. Anything above and beyond starts to put a little bit of cash back into this, because it's not really going just into my pocket so that I can go out and sort of buy myself a hot tub or what have you. It's more sort of about reinvesting it into future projects at the moment. Because of the way the industry and the world has gone recently with the pandemic, comics are taking a bit of a hit. And I think really anybody who is less than a sort of A-tier sort of comic artist is suffering a little. I know I am a touch. Certainly, I won't be getting any work from Marvel or DC, and especially after the terrible news coming out of DC the other day, I don't know what the situation will be there. But this Kickstarter was really a sort of response to COVID and myself and Jerry Duggan, who were doing Dead Eyes before this, had been hit quite badly by another thing, which I'm legally not allowed to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So with that and COVID, it's been a bit of a 1-2 sort of gut punch. And so I have been left in a little bit of an unstable situation. And I guess I figured it was time to look at alternative ways to kind of fund my drawing comics. Normally I would get a page rate from Marvel or DC, but I'm not working for Marvel or DC. Normally I would get a page rate from Image, but that's not the situation at the moment, as far as I'm aware. So I have to look at other means, and Kickstarter really seemed like the best option. So anything that builds above that base amount, that funding goal, goes towards helping me and Jerry fund our next project, and then possibly puts a bit of money towards other things beyond that as well, depending on how well we do.
Yeah, and I do love Dead Eyes, and as you mentioned, you know, those of us that are fans of it are aware of the issue that you know you can't really talk about. But sure. It had to go away for a little while. Glad it's back. Really enjoying it. And when I heard about this Kickstarter, I was excited for you. And then to see it fund so quickly, it was gratifying for me to see as a fan, because for you, it must have felt like some validation that people do love what you do. You know, as you said, with the challenges of what freelancers are facing today, sure. You know, you're kind of almost using this as a barometer. Hey, let me see where I am. And then to have it fund so fast. That must have been,
I mean, I can't deny that it's been very, like you said, it's been validating from that point of view to know that I have got people out there who care about my work. Mm-hmm. So it gives me hope going forward that, you know, using Kickstarter or what have you as a kind of base to do my work through is viable. I mean, it's a lot of work, but viable. I guess as I go on, it'll become, and I get used to how the whole thing works, it'll get a little bit easier, but that's not to say that I'm doing this all on my own anyway. I've got four people working with me on this book and to help bring it to reality, and without any of them I wouldn't have been able to get it done at all. And those four people are my wife, Rachel, who's my finance person. You know, she's the brains of the outfit. So she brings the fiscal know-how. And then I've got Kat Hemmings, who's my social media manager, and she's a whiz with all things Kickstarter. So she's been running my Kickstarter campaign for me, really. And then I've got Ryan Hughes, who's doing all the design work on the book. So, you know, the reason the book looks so fancy is because Ryan is on it. And Ryan is, you know, I don't know if you know Ryan, but
I don't know him personally, but I know of his work. And yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, if you've looked at, I mean, any DC logo over the past, God knows how many years, and that's Ryan, and many Marvel ones and lots of other work for many other companies as well. He's an internationally acclaimed designer, and I'm just lucky that I've known him for years and we go way back, and he's giving me mates rates on this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to afford him either, quite frankly. And then the final person is Laura Howell, who's doing the sort of proofreading and editing of the book. You know, just dotting the T's and crossing the I's and making sure spelled there T-H-E-I-R instead of T-H-E-R-E. You know, so it's you know, you need those people, or at least I do, to make something like this happen. I'm aware that there's probably people out there who can do it all on their own. I have much admiration for them and quite a lot of jealousy too. But That's just the facts of the matter are that I'm an old dinosaur, and trying to learn new tricks is really, really tough. But the Kickstarter has been fun, if not hard work. And the book itself, I'm just trying to put a lot of fun stuff into it to make it really different from what, you know, your average comic that's out there is. And just make people sort of sit up and take notice a little bit.
Yeah, and the other thing about it, you know, you said your initial goal was to make sure that you met your requirements, and everybody who's helping you out is going to be compensated. But you know, if you just hit that goal, you don't get anything for yourself, you know, from the creative side. And I know, you know, creators are happy to sacrifice because they're passionate about their art, but it's great to see that you know you're getting something back. For yourself,
sure. As well. Yes, I mean, I'll pay the bills for a few days, hopefully. But like I said, I do want to put some money forward into Jerry and my next book. Partly because Jerry's taken a lot of the brunt of what's been going on before, mm-hmm. and I need to pay him back a little bit. It's like I said, it's a tricky balance, this whole thing is trying to find the right balance between paying myself, looking after future projects, keeping everybody else who's working on it, you know, well compensated for their time and effort. I don't want to rip anybody off.
Right.
So yeah, it's just a balancing act, and I hadn't realized how tricky that balancing act was. I mean, being a publisher must be a nightmare.
right. Well, John, I wonder if you could tell us, you talked about it briefly, you touched on it, but can you tell us a little bit more about the content, what we're actually going to see in the mighty world of McRae for anyone who backs it? Because it's more than just stories and some of your other creator-owned stuff. You're doing some unique things here. Can you let us know what those things are?
Yeah, I mean, the book is, each book, there's going to be four books in total, and they're going to be annuals coming out for Christmas. In the UK, we had Christmas annuals. I know in the States, most annuals came out in the summer, mm-hmm. which is extremely weird for us Brits. But in the UK, we had Christmas annuals, and they were hardback, oversized books. Mm-hmm. And often they would reprint stories, you know, comic stories and whatnot. But they also would have things like puzzle pages and articles and features, posters, and just lots of extra stuff that made them sort of more interesting to a degree and fun. And so that's what I'm doing with this book. I wanted to have that vibe of a Christmas annual because, of course, it is coming out for Christmas. So it's got things like a Deadeye's prose story, which is, you know, Jerry's written a prose story, and I'm going to do spot illustrations that will go around that. It's got puzzle pages, so, you know, like spot the difference and crazy stuff like that. Find your way back to your hotel, drunk John McRae, things and stuff like that. I kid thee not. There's a mythic board game that will be in it as well. Also, you've seen it possibly on the Kickstarter. There's a Deadeye's cutout mask that you can wear when you go robbing banks. So, you know, lots of fun and also useful stuff if you're a bank robber, for sure. As well as there's articles in it too. The main article in this first one is about the Belfast, Northern Ireland's first comic shop, which I opened in the mid-80s, and its connection to Northern Ireland's punk scene back then as well. So there's the article on that and features. There's an interview with Jerry Duggan. There's little each story that's in the book. For instance, The Atheist is the first big long-form comic in it. It's the complete first four issues of The Atheist. Each one has a little intro before the start of it, which has fact files about the characters and also the writers. So there's just lots of little bits and pieces that I'm throwing in and having a great deal of fun with. And hopefully people who read it will have fun with it as well. One of the things I was just finished off today is a spoof advert as well. Of course, we all know the old Hostess Twinkies ads that used to run in Marvel and DC Comics. And so I've done a spoof Hostess Twinkies ad as well, just to go in there. Just, you know, if I got it's like wanting to get the perfect annual. And what do I think would go in the perfect annual? And so I've just been chucking it all in, along with the various stories that I've got. There's The Atheist. I've also got Dinosaurs Rule, which was a fully painted comic that I did with Nick Abadzis. Wormwood, which is another fully painted story with a guy called Mal Coney. I'm trying to think what the other stories that are in it. Oh, yes. There's Team USA with Ben McCool writing. So, and various other shorter stories too, like Carl Allison, which was a comic I wrote and drew for Deadline magazine, if you remember Deadline back in the 80s, that Steve Dillon and started with Tank Girl in it. So, yeah, lots of stuff. Plus, there will also be some little bits and pieces, little backup stories by friends of mine who are amazing comic artists. I'm giving some people a little bit of space in the back of the book just to showcase their work. And it will be different people. Each annual will have three different people of my favorite artists and friends who are willing to let me reprint their stuff for free. So yeah, that's it. That's a lot of stuff, but it's 200 pages, so it really wasn't that hard to fill, actually, thinking about it. I thought maybe it would be a little hard to fill, but not at all. The book is filled up pretty quick.
It really does sound like there's something for everything. I'm excited to get my hands on it and to check it out.
Thank you.
You know, especially because as you yourself mentioned, over there in the UK, you know, the annuals were a Christmas thing. Over here, they were a summer thing. And really, for us, it was just comics. You know, you didn't get – I mean, back in the Silver Age, maybe you got a little bit of the puzzles, crosswords, or mazes, or things like that. But for the most part, like my generation, you know, it was just comic stories. So to hear about these other things added in has me real excited. And one of the things that has me most excited is to hear about your experience opening a comic shop in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s in Belfast. Because I have no frame of reference, so I'm very interested to hear that. I imagine that must have been a wild and crazy time. Does it at all compare to running the Kickstarter with kind of pulling your hair out and trying to figure out how to do it?
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I don't have much hair left these days. So, you know, that's not been much of a problem. But as far as running a comic shop goes, yes, I hold my hands up to anybody who has to run a comic shop at any point. And for these days and now in the pandemic, I my hats are off to them. It's a very tough gig, and I didn't do a particularly good job of it. It was Belfast's first comic shop. Mm-hmm. Or Northern Ireland's first comic shop. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was Ireland's first comic shop. But it was quite crazy. As I was going back and diving back into that time, I realized just how much stuff I got up to. Because while I was doing this, I was also trying to break into comics mm-hmm. as well. So There was a lot going on in my life, and I was running around like a mad arse fly trying to do all these different things. And it was great fun, but also quite stressful too. And ultimately, you know, the shop never really made us very much money, if any. I don't think it did make us any money, actually. And really, when your business model is getting cheap comics for yourself, that's a really poor business model.
Right.
So, yeah, I probably wasn't going in with the most robust way of going about making cash. But, you know, nice to be a trailblazer, I guess, of sorts. You know?
Well, it really sounds like between – and I don't know your kind of your background, you know, as far as growing up with comics. But it sounds like with, you know, trying to break in and having your own comic shop and – sounds like the Christmas annuals were such a big part of your childhood as well.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I was a comic nut from 4 years old when I was always drawing, and my mum and dad bought me Avengers number 8 when I was 4. It was a British reprint, not the original American. But, and that was it. I was lost. Comics were my life. And the annuals were amazing. They were always my favorite part of Christmas, really. You know, I would get other presents, but it would always be the annuals. Or one year I got Bring On the Bad Guys. And that was my favorite that year. I loved that book. I never got Origins of Marvel Comics or Son of Origins, but for some reason my mom and dad bought me Bring On the Bad Guys. Not sure what they were trying to tell me there, but but yeah, the annuals were amazing, be it the Beano annual or the $6 Million Man annual or like a Spider-Man annual. It was just that mix of comics that you maybe hadn't read before, and sometimes just really very random stories all sort of plopped together, you know, just that seemingly made no sense. You would get Power Man story and a Submariner story and an Iron Man story all stuffed into one annual. And you'd be going, and none of the stories related to each other. And some of the stories didn't even finish. You know, they, they kind of were bits of a Marvel, an American comic that they'd stuffed in, but it didn't actually finish. So it was very odd, or they began in the middle of the story. Right. So it was very odd. The annuals were unusual, and then they had all these extras thrown in, and that just made them all the more enjoyable and very cool. So yeah, I love those, and that's what I'm trying to get back here, is sort of get that sort of idea of excitement of getting your, you know, your Christmas annual. So fingers crossed people will react well to it, but judging by the response to the Kickstarter so far, it's going great guns.
Yeah, and do you have any idea? Are most of your backers there in the UK? Are they here in the States? Do you have any idea?
No, we've got a, you know, I would say it's probably, I think it's sort of 40%. I mean, the 40% UK, maybe 30% UK, 50, 60% US, the rest other. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got people in Australia and Japan and such like, you know, so it's a global thing, thankfully. It's nice to have fans in all sorts of parts of the world. It's very satisfying from that point of view as well. And yeah, the interest does seem to be, but obviously, I suppose the whole nostalgia of this is kind of primed towards the British audience,
right?
So that is probably why I'm getting as such a large hit on the Brits. Yeah. And also, there's an element of the fact that my career started off in the UK. I think you'll find that with any British comic artist, that they will have a proportionately larger amount of fans, perhaps, in the UK than like a US comic artist, perhaps, of the same caliber, shall we say, because they had a career in the UK beforehand and right. Had fans there before they maybe broke into the US market. So yeah, there's all sorts of elements as to why it might be more of a leaning towards a UK market. But hey, any US fans out there, it's still going to be an awesome book, so pick it up. Any, you know, fans out there in Croatia, please pick it up. It's going to be a great book. So that's the end of my terrible shilling.
Well, you know, from my perspective as an American fan of your work, the fact that I feel like I am going to get some insight into your, you know, earlier work, your earlier British work that I really don't necessarily have access to unless I, you know, do a deep dive on eBay or something to kind of find it. So from my perspective, sure. I'm getting a chance to kind of look back at that stuff. How's it been for you looking back on some of your earlier work, you know, the Boys, the British stuff, really everything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's really only my creator-owned stuff. I've done a lot of work for hire, mm-hmm. Stuff over the years, and that was one of my sort of. I was slightly apprehensive about that when I was going into it, thinking, "Well, I'll probably only be able to fill one book," but then I hadn't realized what a busy little bee I'd been over the years, and just how much creator-owned work I'd done on the side or, mm-hmm. you know, concurrently. And so it's been interesting looking at the stuff and just sort of seeing the sort of. I was always messing about with styles. I was always going, "Oh, I'll do a bit of this. Oh, I fancy drawing in that style. Oh, what about this?" And so my stuff varies quite dramatically from quite cartoony to quite photorealistic to fully painted to very expressionistic brushstrokey stuff. So it's been, yeah, and also just seeing the sort of development of my work as well. And hopefully people will be able to see a little bit of that. I am trying to a degree to make it run in a slightly chronological order, but it doesn't, but also I have to have a balance of black and white and color.
Right.
I have to have a balance of long form story. You need a big story at the start of the annual to start it off. Plus, you know, some, and then shorter stuff at the back, which can drop in and fit around the articles and the puzzle pages and things like that. Oh, and the one other thing is yes, there is new content as well. Aside from all the articles and short stories and things, there's a new 8-page story by Jerry Duggan and myself in there as well. called Rocket Station Charlie, and that's our new create our own thing. It's just 8 pages because that's the preview of it, and then we're hopefully, with the money that I might make, I'll be able to fund making the rest of the book and probably kickstartering that book sometime towards the end of the year or early next year, mm-hmm. depending on sort of how quickly we deal with this Kickstarter and how quickly I can produce the rest of the artwork, because I want to have all the work done before I put it out to Kickstarter, just so that there's no, I minimize the risk of delays or what have you.
Well, like I said, I'm really excited for it. It sounds like a lot of other fans are really excited for it as well. So,
thank you.
I want to thank you for your time, John. Like I said, I was over the moon when I saw it. Fund so quickly. I knew it would fund quickly, but to fund in less than an hour, I was just I was yes. so excited for it.
I was stunned by that. I thought maybe it would fund in maybe 24 hours or something like that. I was hopeful, you know, that was fingers crossed,
right,
that it would fund in 24 hours. The fact that it's so quick is amazing. And the fact that it's gone so far beyond its goal, you know, 360% beyond its goal so far, is incredible. Also, tomorrow I'm releasing a couple of new tiers on the book. Oh God, this won't be going out. Is this going out this Friday?
Yeah, in a few days.
Yeah. So, yeah, yesterday, when you hear this, I will have released a couple of new tiers to kind of push the book, because obviously in the middle of the Kickstarter, it's always the lull. Mm-hmm. So you need to give it a little bit of a shove to try and keep the momentum going. So, yeah, there's going to be a new tier, a couple of tiers, some original artwork, some more sketched in books. I think I announced that today. So, my campaign manager, Kat, announced it today. So, yeah, that's all just rolling along and trying to get as much interest going as possible. And yeah, like you say, it's been incredibly, sort of rewarding seeing how well it's done and how much good feeling that there is towards it. I'm humbled.
Yeah, that's great. And so, listeners, if you want to pledge, if you want to go, check out the tiers, see if there's any of those sketches left available to get a John McCrae sketch in your book. There's a link in the show notes. You can go or just Google, John McCrae Kickstarter or Mighty World of McCrae, and you'll find it. Highly recommend it. If you're not familiar with John's work, I mean, he's done some legendary work, The Demon, Hitman, The Boys, it goes on and on and on. And then obviously, we've mentioned some of the creator-owned work, Dead Eyes with Jerry Dugan, and looking forward to this Rocket Station Charlie that you're talking about. Is there any other upcoming work that you want to talk about, John, or anything you can mention?
No, not really. I haven't. I mean, the only thing that I really think that I've got out at the moment, book-wise, is my Yondu miniseries with Marvel that came out last year, came out recently as a trade. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to support your local comic shop and are after something new of me, there's that. And I suppose the new Judge Dredd book that reprinted some of my Mechanismo storyline with John Wagner came out towards the end, the start of the year, I think, was about February, I believe it launched. And that's a new Dredd trade paperback. Those are the only two things that I really have out that are new in the shops. Particularly up and coming stuff, like I said, it's just going to be Kickstarter, and we'll see how we go from there, and hopefully we can get Dead Eyes back on track at some point. It's just going to take a whole lot more finessing and figuring out due to just various absolute ball aches that have been sort of giving Jerry and me a load of grief over the past while. It's great doing creator-owned work. It's lovely owning your own stuff. But when sort of crap drops out of the heaven on you, you haven't got Disney or Warner protecting you. Yep. It's on you, and that's been a bit of a eye opener for me and for Jerry. So we're having to be a whole lot more careful with Rocket Station Charlie than we were with Dead Eyes. Just, you know, because you just don't like the thought of lightning striking twice.
Right, exactly. You know, Dead Eyes is such a great book, and I feel like it had some momentum going, and then to have that happen, it was just a terrible
idea. I know.
I told Jerry the same thing when I saw
it. I know. I poured my heart and soul into that book, and I knew that Jerry did too. I thought we had a really great little sort of fun, violent romance story going that had a bit of something for everyone, really.
Yeah.
And it just to have the rug pulled out from under our feet was a bit of a drag, really, to say the least.
Yeah.
But anyway, there you have it. But yeah. Also, if you are listening to this and you don't know my work, you can also follow me on the social medias as well. You know, I post relatively regularly, and I'm on Twitter at McCrayman, and you can find me on Facebook as well for, you know, be it ever so evil.
Great, and I'll put links to the Twitter and the Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
In the show notes. Thanks. As well, everybody. So yeah, I follow John, and he always loves to answer questions fans have. Really engaging. So definitely encourage you to do that.
And the one other thing I have coming out, which I nearly forgot about, is the Hero Initiative. Of course, which is a fantastic charity. If you haven't heard of it, the Hero are wonderful. Support creators in need. You know, if they're struggling financially or what have you, Hero step in and help out, or comic shops or what have you. They're just a brilliant organization that have been there for so many people over the years. And it's their new Hero 100 covers have just been launched. I did it's Batman this time. I've done a Batman cover for that, and so have 99 other people, including such greats as Alan Davis and Arthur Adams and Phil Hester. And there's some amazing covers in there, which are frankly are terrifying to look at. Alan Davis's ones are just startlingly good. So those will be auctioned through Heritage Auctions starting September the 13th, I think. That's one to look out for as well.
Yeah, and that's the original art is being auctioned by Heritage, but
it's a comic with a blank cover, and we draw original artwork onto the cover, and then the comics and the original art together are auctioned off for here.
Usually about 6 months after that, Hero will put out a hardcover that has all the covers that people can purchase.
That's right.
So if they're doing
the same with this. I think they're even doing a soft cover of this one.
Oh, okay.
I think I noticed that in the notes and thought to myself, do they don't normally do that. But I think they are doing a soft cover as well. But yeah, those books are always really nice. You know, have some terrific artwork in them. My particular favorite was the Usagi Yojimbo one, which I had a great time drawing Usagi. I met, I've forgotten his name, the creator of Usagi.
Stan.
Jeez.
Stan
Sakai. Pardon?
Stan
Sakai. Stan, of course. Thank you. Sorry, my mind is so lemony at the moment. I met Stan one time, and he was such a nice guy, such a lovely fella, and just the opportunity to work on that was so great. And of course, it was to benefit him and his wife, who had cancer at the time. That was a lovely thing to do and to be a part of. And Hero just really is a terrific organization that deserves your support if you can, if you have got the funds to help them out or get yourself a piece of great artwork at the same time, then do so. But also that they do other stuff as well, where you can go online and pledge and become a Hero supporter. So if you've got the opportunity or the funds to do that, please do.
Yeah, they really are a great organization. You know, back in the day, before the world completely changed, they'd have signings at their booths when we had conventions. Now they're doing these virtual meetups with different creators.
I did one of those to keep
raising the money. I'm glad to hear that I didn't know you were doing one of the Batman covers. I have seen other creators have been posting them on social media and stuff, so I'm looking forward to seeing them all.
I just put mine up on my Twitter feed earlier because we'd been given the go ahead, and so I put my cover up with a link to it, of course, to Hero and all the other great covers. But yeah, I mean, obviously the pandemic has caused Hero as well as everyone else a complete pain, you know. And I've worked on the Hero booth at a lot of comic conventions, and they're a great bunch of people, and it's a great organization. So yeah, please support.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Well, again, John, I want to thank you for your time. Congratulations on the success of the Kickstarter. Jess. And hopefully some of our listeners are going to go and check it out. I have the Kickstarter page here open while we've been chatting, and I've been seeing the numbers keep going up, which is just so
do they really? So, yeah, oh, great.
So cool. I didn't realize they get updated in real time. That's so cool. So,
well, yes, I got a bit of a surprise earlier, because it jumped up by over £1,000, and I thought, holy crap, but somebody accidentally pledged over £1,000 where they were only meaning to pledge £40 or something like that. So it dropped back down again, and I was like, oh. when you see a big jump like that, you get very excited.
Yeah,
but it was an accident, so, you know. Be still my beating heart and all that. But good to hear it's still ticking along nicely while I've been chatting to you. Thank you very much for letting me know that, Jace.
Yeah, and I do also want to remind our listeners, you know, the way Kickstarter works is if something doesn't fully fund, you don't get it. So there's no worry about that with John's Kickstarter. If you pledge,
no, you're going to get the
you're going to get it.
You're going to get the
yeah. Bird. It's fully funded, heading towards stretch goals now. So really encourage everybody to click the link in the show description and go and check it out. And again, John, thanks for joining me. Please be safe in these crazy times. It was really great chatting with you.
Yeah, brilliant talking to you too, Jason. You keep safe as well. And thank you very much, everyone out there who's listened in. Really appreciate it. Look after yourselves, everyone. All the best.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.